Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Due to technical difficulties during the recording of this podcast, Accessana will, for one episode only, be known as Anadroid. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Welcome to That Android Show, episode 5, the first episode of 2012. Happy New Year here in the U.S. And China, too, I guess. That episode 5.
Year of the Dragon.
That Android Show 5. It's That Episode 5. We have a great interview. We've been having a lot of requests for ice cream sandwich news, reviews, and we have finally got you covered. Steve Nutt is coming on the show a little bit later on to talk all about ice cream sandwich. And not only talk, he's going to demonstrate some of the features of the latest Google operating system. Along with me, JJ Meadow, we have Anna.
Hi, this is Access Anna from the Accessible Android blog.
And the tired but energetic at the same time, it's Joe Steingamp.
I'm here. No, really, I'm back from vacation, but you couldn't really tell. We're going to talk about all sorts of things in the news, and we're also going to have our reviews that are here, and we're going to have this awesome interview, and then maybe even an email or two. But hey, let's get through some of the news first, shall we?
Yeah, sure. You were on vacation, so you missed out on some of the Android news the last couple of weeks, but some things happened.
I don't think I missed anything at CES, it looks like.
You know, I was expecting to have CES news for this month. We'd have no CES news. And not because nothing happened, but there's nothing nothing. Things are way too far off, and I guess we might have a little bit with television coming up in a minute, so that's kind of CES related. But let's start out with the latest of mobile accessibility. And a major new announcement involving support by Sprint. Now, AT&T, a couple months ago, started to deal with Code Factory to pick up mobile accessibility, but they had a light version, which really kind of leaves out a lot of the fat of the program. Sprint now did them one better, and later this quarter is going to release a version of mobile accessibility, which is going to be fully featured, the entire MA suite, so all of the apps that are included, the voice recognition, the screen reader portion, everything, and it's going to be completely free and available for Sprint and Metro PCS. So that's coming out sometime this quarter.
They also announced support for French and Portuguese, so we've got that to look forward to, and it seems like they're going to continue to release new languages going forward. They were looking for more translators to take on some of that. And I believe that we even heard some of that in our interview with Code Factory from episode 4. And you can catch that in our That Android Show website. So if you didn't hear that and you want to know more about Code Factory and mobile accessibility, pop on over to last month's podcast, because I think you'll really enjoy the interview we did there.
Another interesting thing about this announcement, that Sprint is also making little bundles of accessible apps. For example, they have an entertainment app, which I believe includes an accessible YouTube player and something else. So they have about 6 of them, and they're all free. And they're apps we already have available to us, developed by Ideal, apps for Android by the Ideal Group. But they're bundled up in a practical way, so the end user doesn't have to hunt around and research. They can simply look for these bundled installers for Sprint and get them on their phone. So that's really nice. Another bit of news is that Google published their developer guidelines, and there doesn't seem to be any reference to accessibility. There isn't a section on accessibility. And I think the two of you have read it, or JJ I know has read it. There don't even seem to be bits and pieces that for best practices and so on in the official guidelines.
Yeah, and that really was kind of the essence. They released this. It's like a fancy new guide. This isn't like their official developer programming, the technical guide. That has an accessibility section. But then they released this brand new, hey, these are some best practices we think that you should follow. This is how to make your apps fluid and cool and just make them stand up against above the rest. And I don't know about you all, but I think a part of making your app stand out, you know, amongst the others would be to include top-notch accessibility support, since it's not that hard to do anyway. And not a single word that we could find mentioning any accessibility. And we know there's people at Google that believe this and that are on our side, but it's not always a company-wide thing. It's true for Apple or anybody else too, but it's not a company-wide thing at Google. And that information certainly needs to be, if not a whole section, it needed to be integrated into the guide as far as the best practices, you know, as far as, you know, bringing focus to, you know, allowing for focus changes and labeling icons, and the simple things at least should have been there somewhere.
Well, exactly, especially since I tend to contact developers often. I think it's really important for them to know that we're out here and that we want specific changes that'll help make their apps more widely usable by more people. And often they tell me they don't know where to go. So I would think that this would be a perfect opportunity to give them a quick resource and point them to the right places when people like me contact them.
So our Talk Podcast Network is going to have some coverage of ATIA coming up. And one of the stories that we are definitely going to be interested in covering on that coverage is the Orion Project and its moves to work exclusively under APH. There was an email that happened at the end of December in which Orion is kind of sort of not going to be its own project anymore. It's actually going to sort of fall under the Braille Plus line. What do we think of this, guys? Is there anything to make of this, or should we just wait until we get more clarification from ATIA or CSUN?
That's part of it. You know, it's where the money's at. Let's be blunt. APH has a lot of funding, and they are able to support new products, and, you know, they work with a lot of tech companies, and it was a bit confusing for some people. Like, oh, I have an icon, I have a Braille Plus, you know, and sometimes the products were just so similar that
yes.
You kind of wondered, you know, what is this and what is that? And it really just makes more sense to have one product. You can still have all the programmers from LevelStar and from APH collaborating on this. You can still have the same product. And, you know, why have two? It seems like it would really, you know, convolute the market. So, you know, nothing lost, I don't think, here. I think it actually will just help the marketing efforts and help them unify under the Braille Plus brand.
What you're saying is that we won't be able to use the Android phone name generator on any Orions, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
One of the most talked about Android apps recently has been Matt Hill's Darwin Reader, which I reviewed on episode 4 of that Android show. It's a compact Bookshare reader, has a lot of features, lets you download books directly into the app, and it is a self-voicing Bookshare reading app. Now, Matt has decided to turn his attention to another big need in the Android community, or is it a big need? A money reader app. Now, there's a look tell for the iPhone, and this is what he's thinking of doing, something similar here, using video recognition to provide instant bill identification for several languages. There was a time that Looktel was thinking about Android, but that, you know, they've kind of, you know, don't see enough of a market in that apparently to move over here. So, is this something that's needed? Google Goggles will do it. It's not as efficient, but it is there. And would you buy a money reader app? I think I would.
I would if the price were low, because Google Goggles does it for free, and it's not perfect, but it works, for me, about 75% of the time or more. So if it were a couple of bucks, I would do it in a heartbeat, because based on his Matt Hill's post to the Ice for List about it, he said that the advantage would be that the recognition would be on board, so I don't have to go to the net, which is nice, because sometimes, you know, the market's down or the web is doing whatever, and so then I wouldn't have access through Google Goggles. Another bit of news is that the EyesFree keyboard has been updated to be compatible with the Novo tablet. Some people jumped in and got one early, and what do you two think about that?
Well,
I'm...
Okay, yeah.
You can tell how non-committal.
You know, yeah, I think they might have jumped in a little too early, and sometimes it's good to do that, but there's been some hiccups on this as far as, well, the EyesFree keyboard was broken for a while, as we were talking about. And so they're just having a lot of general problems. It's not just a blindness thing. It's just the tablet's cheap.
Yeah. One of the things about these cheaper tablets is, yes, it can run, let's say, Ice Cream Sandwich or something like that. But the capacity of the touchscreen might go out halfway after you've owned it for like a week and a half or something like that. I met someone who got one of the Acer Android tablets about 6 months ago, and now it's not recognizing anything on the touch layer.
Wow.
So it's one of those, do you get what you pay for? I mean, you always think that there's a finite life to electronics, but you would think that 6 months would not necessarily be that particular lifespan, maybe 2 years.
And if you ordered it from China, you know, your options for returning are much more limited here. Well, you don't have much recourse at all. I mean, you could try to return it, but that's not going to be cheap.
Exactly, or have it repaired.
Yeah,
it's that classic joke about you know, my friend took his hamster into the vet. Isn't that like taking a disposable lighter in for repairs? It's one of those so moments evil. Where you have to think about you know, if I spend X number of dollars out of this, what am I expecting to get out of it in some type of return? So I'm not a huge fan of the Eyes-Free keyboard as it is. I can see it on tablets, but naturally, you know, I choose phones that have a hardware keyboard.
Yep.
And having the Eyes-Free keyboard active during those modes means that the D-pad, you know, takes 3 or 4 presses to get past a selection, and that drives me absolutely insane. So I do it for testing purposes. I do it for our show, but I don't run with it normally.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Eyes-Free keyboard. I love it. And when you put it in hidden mode, then you don't have that weird lag with the D-pad. But I'm not quite ready to do soft keyboard all the time, so I'm hesitant about the tablets at this point for me personally.
Yeah,
Bluetooth if there's connectivity forever.
Oh yeah, if there's a good tablet that comes out, you know, I'll look at it. You know, I'm going to definitely try to borrow somebody's Transformer Prime with the GPS fixed, and you know, play with that at some point. And you know, we'll see where things go. And there was a couple others announced at CES, and we'll just see what comes out of all that.
Oh, there's a lawsuit. It won't be Transformer Prime. It'll have to be something else.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be called something else.
It's going to be called something else.
That's true. Now, what is out now and current, and more updates to the VOIC, which is awesome. And that is an interview we did a couple months ago in episode 3 of that Android show. And now another much requested feature. He just keeps cranking them out. Face detection. Anna is probably our expert user of this program. Have you had a chance to look at this at all?
You know, I've tried it a couple of times, but my phone has been flaky in general, so I haven't gotten it to work. I'm not sure if it's the phone or the app. I suspect it's the phone because the lovely Droidia is a bit creepy in her bones at this point. So,
what's your camera? Maybe that's it.
I don't remember. I don't have.
It's probably not the greatest.
It's not a great camera because my phone's a couple of years old. And it sometimes gives me trouble when I'm using Google Goggles. So I really do think it's my phone.
How many days to upgrade? How many more days?
I've got a month, baby.
You're not counting them, are you?
Oh, yes. Well, tell you what. Well, those of you who have newer phones, go try this out. Go get the latest update from the market and try it out if you have a good camera. And let us know. Because it's definitely a cool feature when done correctly. So definitely would be interested to see how that turns out.
And let us know if you've unlocked your ICS phone with a picture, you know, because that was the something that came out in the last month, was that the new facial detection in ICS could be fooled by a photograph. And, well, that just screams wonderful security. So, hey, let me borrow your ID badge. It fell off. Now I can unlock your phone.
You know what else happened, Joe, while you were on vacation? They finally gave us an accessible Blio.
Really?
It seems like you took a really long vacation, but
I didn't go where places freeze over either. Who knew? I was in international waters, but Blio happened. Well, that's something I wasn't expecting.
Now, it's interesting implementation.
You've tried it, JJ. Could you tell us how it works?
I have. Now, yeah, it's an interesting implementation. They decided to create their own Blio accessibility service, which some people are like, well, why do you got to do that? That's kind of goofy. Yeah, it is. But it also, you know, it doesn't hurt anything. It's just, it was an interesting way of doing it. So you install Blio, you go to a settings accessibility, you enable the Blio service, and then it's self-voicing. So using mobile accessibility, it won't use Nuance. It'll use your other voices, Ivona, Loquendo, whatever. And you know, it will read basically everything as you go around. It will read character by character, word, line, sentence in the book. You can browse through the your book collection or whatever. There's you can set bookmarks. Yeah, so it's a book reader app. It's not bad. It's more comparable to Darwin as far as navigation that's available and the ways you can move around. Google Reader, which is also accessible now, will let you navigate by page, but not by character or line. So there's your comparison as far as the two reading apps with pay content that are out there at this point. Another thing about Blio that is kind of cool is you can take unprotected EPUB, throw them in the Blio folder on your memory card, and read them with Blio. So that you could convert files to EPUB and then copy them to the card and read them that way. So that's kind of cool. You know, it's a kind of a better late than never thing. And we could have a whole discussion about is Blio still a relevant platform, but you know, at least the app is here now. And
it's yet another option, which is what we want.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you're looking for conversations about EPUB, you might want to also check out Triple Click Home. They had an interesting conversation about an Apple thing that happened this month with EPUB, and I'm just going to let that sit right there.
Yeah,
if you're interested, definitely check out tripleclickhome.com or follow them on Twitter at tripleclickhome.
Yay for open platforms, or at least more open.
Until they're closed.
Yeah.
Now, another bit of news, we've got all sorts of accessibility news this time. Another bit of news is that the Ideal web reader has been significantly upgraded. That's the free web reader that is accessible aside from Ma. It's the only thing we've got. And it used to be incredibly buggy, and pretty much all you could do is read forward or backward, by character, sentence, line, etc.
Or change your gestures. So if you forget what the gestures were during the long tutorial, you can just rename all your gestures in case you really did. You know, I just want to be able to click on things. What was the gesture for clicking on things? You know what? I'm just going to relabel them all. Yeah. I'm right here in the options menu.
Well, and that was another part of it. A lot of the gestures were just not intuitive. If you've never seen a print question mark, what is that? You know, that kind of thing. But recently, one of the end users...
And if you're on the bus, how do you draw that very quickly? That was my other thing, too. Yeah.
There is that. Well, recently, one of our end users, who also is a programmer, has done a fantastic job of making the gestures easier. He basically used the eyes-free shell concept of touching the screen at any point and then sliding in various directions. And he also gave us a lot of the shortcuts we're used to for jumping to headings and combo boxes and so on. I did an app review on that, and so you will be listening to that later in this podcast. But it's really great, and it also seems to be a lot more stable, which is a fantastic thing, my goodness. So I am very happy.
Well, you know, one of the things that we always get labeled with is that there's no conformity within Android. One app doesn't keep the same thing as the other app. I have to relearn gestures on every time I go to this app or that app or the other thing. So I'm excited to hear this because now if I have some familiarity with the eyes-free way of doing things, then I can kind of, you know, bring that across. And there is something to be said about uniformity and universal design.
Right. The other thing to note here is, you know, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, you know, we're all still stuck in a pre-ice cream sandwich world, and the ice cream sandwich browser is accessible.
Yes.
Some of the conventions in that browser actually have been used in the new Ideal browser. So we're going to hear about that in a little bit as well. So, you know, the web browser options have certainly gotten a lot better over the last couple months. Yes.
Something that's reported to be better is the new update to Google TV. The interesting thing here is that you can run apps from the market a little better, and you actually have some accessibility where there really wasn't that much before. And before you start to say, oh man, Google TV, well, forget that. Look what happened with Logitech and all of that. I'm not interested. Well, Google TV is going to be inside real televisions. One of the few stories that came out of CES was the partnerships that Google had reached with some TV manufacturers to actually be the set-top box inside the television. Therefore, you'd be able to run some apps and use Google TV within those televisions. And that makes it a little bit more interesting because, you know, when it comes bundled with your television, we're actually talking about possibly bundled accessibility, which would be really amazing if you could
get
these web-enabled Wi-Fi TVs home, have them connect up to the Android market. It may not be necessarily accessible out of the box for us, but maybe with some assistance or a spouse, friend, or other person you could borrow time off of with a good pizza, you could actually get this enabled and then have things kind of working for you. And one of the good things about this is that when you do get your Google TV 2.0 up and running, you can actually download iBlink Radio for that, because we've modified things. And you can actually hear this very podcast about Android on your Android-powered Google TV.
Yes, you too can be a Google fanboy, and you have your Google TV and your Android and everything. And speaking of Google fanboys, we had a lot of Google talk on the 2011 wrap-up show this week, and assistive technology. It was the Sarah Spective show of myself and Joe and Jamie Piles and Lisa, all talking about 2011 and a lot of Android mentions there as well. So go check that out at saratalk.com. And now we're going to go into our first app review of the month. So stay tuned. In running a business, I've been desperately searching for an efficient and easy-to-use task manager. While there's lots of services out there like Remember the Milk and Google Tasks, things like that, I wanted something simpler. I'm used to having a to-do.txt file for organizing my tasks, and it would be cool to have a way to interface with that. Lo and behold, this does exist. To-do.txt Touch is an app available on the Android market, and it interfaces directly with Dropbox in a to-do.txt file. So, I have a file on my Dropbox which lists some of the tasks that I need to finish, and by opening the app, I can see what I have to do.
Toggle TXT Touch. Window. Button. A. Record app review for task. 1 of 270. A. Ask Joe Steenkamp for a raise. 2 of 270.
Not sure if that will really happen.
B. Buy plane ticket for CSUN. 3 of 273.
So as you can hear, tasks I prioritize A for the most urgent thing to do, and E for the least urgent, and tasks can also have no priority as well. What it actually is doing is pulling directly from my todo.txt file in my Dropbox folder. This is a text file which just has tasks listed one per line, and it goes through and imports them into this todo.txt app. So I can also go up to the button on the top. There's two unlabeled buttons. The one on the left, we're not really sure what it does. The one on the right is to add a task. There's the priority button. I set the priority as A for strongest.
Capital A, edit field.
And now I can type in a task.
F-I-N-I-S-H, space T-H-E, space R-E-V-I-E-W.
Finish the review. Not only does it add this task to my list on my phone, it also immediately syncs the list to my Dropbox. So I have an up-to-date list of all the tasks that I need to complete. You can mark a task as complete, you can update the information, you can share the information on a task with another Android program. One additional cool feature of to-do.txt Touch is the ability to import tasks from other programs. It adds itself to the Share To menu, which you can find on many apps. So for instance, if you go into OI Notepad and you select Share on a note that you have written, you can immediately create a new task using that note. It's $2 from the Android market and well worth the price. Please let us know which apps you find useful. Go to thatandroidshow.com or thatandroidshow on Twitter. Since I have 28 seconds remaining, let's talk about another app called Gong. Yes, it's a really annoying and badly sounding gong. Is that really the best gong sound effect they could find? It's on the Android market as well. I'm JJ Meadow.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to episode 5 of The Android Show. And we've done a lot of talk about ice cream sandwich, but we really have not had the opportunity to get some live demonstrations. So to solve that problem, we have brought on Steve Nutt, a self-proclaimed geek, early adopter, and also owner of Computer Room Services in the UK. And he has an ice cream sandwich phone and is here to tell us about it and show us a lot of the cool things that it can do. So Steve, welcome to That Android Show.
Hi, JJ. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. But why don't we start off from the beginning? One of the big improvements to solve problems in Android accessibility was turning on accessibility. So why don't you tell us how that experience went for you when you first got your phone, and were you able to do it yourself?
It didn't go well for me, I have to say. I think I know why now, and I'll explain in a second. But we went into the store. I got my Galaxy Nexus on an upgrade, and we went into the store. And I said, hang on, let me try and turn on TalkBack myself. And I did the rectangle, which is top left to bottom right of the screen, kind of going clockwise, and nothing. And we tried it 3 times and nothing. We was on the setup screen, and it didn't seem to work for me. The guy in the shop also tried it, although he hadn't seen the YouTube video that Alan Viverett of Google put up. But he tried it also, and he couldn't get it to work. I think, in retrospect, and I don't want to reformat my phone to try it, because it only seems to work on the setup screen, that if you go below to where the soft keys are at the bottom, then it won't work. In other words, you've got to keep above the soft keys, I think.
So is the rectangle, does it follow the edges of the screen except for the bottom edge? So you would follow the top edge and the side and maybe 2.5 centimeters or an inch away from the bottom edge and then up the left edge?
I think so. But as I say, I've never actually got it working. I would love a proper explanation of that from Google, because you know, I don't know anyone that's independently got that working, and I don't even think I've seen it on the ice-free list.
Okay, the second question we have here is about the gestures. What are the gestures we're going to be using throughout the system to explore the screen, to activate controls, and to scroll through items?
Well, there is a little bit of, we have to compare a little bit with the iPhone to give it a bit of clarity, I suppose. It's slightly different to the iPhone in the sense that with the iPhone, you can move around, and when you find your icon, you lift and double tap, and you can double tap anywhere on the screen. Not with Android. What you have to do is you have to move around until you hear what you want to hear, and then lift and single tap. But I think the problem is going to be for some blind people that you have to tap on the icon. If you move a little bit and tap, you might open something else.
You know, I went to the store this weekend to handle a Galaxy Nexus,
yep.
And I found that I struggled with that for about 5 minutes, and after that I got the hang of tapping on the exact same spot. So I think it's not that difficult. I think it's a matter of getting used to.
It's not that difficult, but there are some programs where the icons are so close together you can miss if you're not, you know, in my experience. I found it in one or two programs that just occasionally the icons are a bit close together and you hit the icon slightly to the left or something. But like you, I'm very much used to it now. Most of the time I get it right.
Even a sighted person, I'm sure from time to time, ends up inadvertently tapping the wrong icon. So, you know.
What I was going to say is, JJ, what I like about it is that it's more like the sighted world in the sense that, you know, you have to tap on the icon and things like that. And you only single tap. I don't like all this business of double tapping. You know, it wears your wrists out and your hands after a while, doesn't it?
Right, and it kind of changes the interface a little more for if someone else were to pick up your phone and try to use it with the speech enabled, they could probably figure out what's going on.
And maybe we should point out that you do have to turn on Explore by Touch as well.
Okay, is that a setting? Or we'll talk about that in a second, yeah, actually, some of the settings that... Okay, so why don't we start out with the home screen? How does the home screen look? I mean, now that we actually are using a standard home screen now, or how does that look for you?
I'm using the standard launcher. So basically, if I press the power button briefly to unlock the phone.
21.02 ringer 100%.
It says that. And now I can slide right, left to right as I would normally. But if I touch where I slide instead.
21.02 right for unlock, left for camera.
See, that's nice. So you know where to unlock now. So now you can press slide, right?
Search.
Now I'm just on my home screen.
People. Voice search. Dog catcher. Seismic.
So what you can do is you can just move around this, but you've actually got five home screens and also some widget screens as well. And to move between the home screens, you do a two-finger left slide.
Workspace 2 of 5.
And
Workspace 3 of 5.
And so on. So you can move between all the different home screens and it calls them workspace. And that's really nice. And so you can just move, you can have apps on whatever home screens you want. And the really nice thing about Ice Cream Sandwich, and I'm really excited about this, is that we can manipulate the home screen. We can add icons and we can delete them.
That's a different voice now, too. It's a lot more clear than what was there for Android.
Yep, that's the UK voice. If you get the US voice, she's a female voice. So it's a UK male voice and a US female voice. I'm not quite sure why, but there you go. And this is called Google TTS, and I'm not even sure who the TTS is from, but it isn't. It's really quite a nice voice. And it's also, JJ, I think, quite responsive. If I move my hand around here.
Market. Phone 21. Google camera. 20. Dark camera. 20.
See what I mean?
Google image.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And what is the same or different about the notification area from earlier versions?
Well, the notification area is the same. You slide down in the same way. But the nice thing about it is that you can hear the notification. So if I go to the top of the screen.
21.04 battery 95%. Bluetooth disconnected. HM revenue and customs.
Okay,
tax refund.
So that's my next. That's my email, whatever it is. It's a spam email by the sound of it. So what I do now?
Oh, I thought you had money.
Now I long hold the top, and hang on.
21.Search.
Hang on, let's go back.
21.04 HM revenue and customs tax refund image. Bluetooth works. Search.
Oh, typical.
20, alert
there
January
go.
17.
That noise.
Launcher. Search.
That noise means that I've long held the notification.
21.
And then I
05 battery 95%.
I can
disconnected.
Bring it
work,
down.
21. Alert January
and
17.
Now I can just slide my finger down once I hear that
all
noise. Now I've got all the notifications.
HM revenue and customs.
And
tax refund.
I can
select
use touch
input
and
method.
Explore.
Eyes free keyboard. Eyes free keyboard. New
be
chat.
Quiet.
Select input method. New voicemail. Dial +44 300 chat 21.0 300 Steve HM select new voicemail 21.0 300 Steve clear all notifications
and just click
clicked.
It. There you
launcher
go. And then that's cleared all the notifications. That's really nice because you can click on an individual notification. You don't need any special way of getting into it. You're doing it the same way as sighted people. Now when I say long hold in the sighted world, if you turn off Explore by Touch, because we've experimented with this, you can just touch an icon and long hold it.
21.05 ring a 100%.
In the blind world, as it were, if you turn on Explore by Touch, what you do is you explore to what you want, and then you lift and
screen
tap
off,
and long
ring
hold.
100%.
You see what I mean? It's just slightly different, but not different enough. You know, sighted people can easily pick it up. Instead of just touching an icon and long holding it, you lift and tap and then long hold.
Okay. How do we... You have the notification area, the menus, etc. You still have the. Do you have an actual software or soft buttons for the? Your home menu or home
yes,
back, etc. Or do you have?
They're across the same place at the bottom left to right on the screen. So you have home, back, recent apps, and a button that is hidden unless it's used. In which case, it's the menu button.
Search is gone, and recent apps now has a button instead of a long tab.
No, search is not gone. It's near the top of the screen. It's usually the top right.
Oh, search has moved.
Except if you load an old program that was written for Gingerbread, sometimes it's near the bottom left as well. But search generally is towards the top right of the screen.
Oh, wow.
Okay. What other gestures then are available that you can see? Like, is there ways to move like through lists? Or do you think they're still missing a few of the gestures that might be convenient in certain situations?
As it comes, you can move through a list by just sliding your finger down the screen and then scroll to the next page and then move your finger down the screen again. But you can't continuously scroll with the built-in Android keyboard. But the solution to that is the i3 keyboard, which has a D-pad. So you can then scroll by sliding up, down. I think you know, don't you, Anna, because you've used the i3 keyboard. You just use the regular slide up, down or down, up in the blank area of the screen. What happens is half the screen disappears and it's sort of replaced by nothing, which is your D-pad.
Oh, so if you're using the i3 D-pad, you don't have to change page. It'll just scroll to the next item.
Well, indeed, yeah. This is good for reading tweets and things like that using Seismic and things like that.
Let's go through some of the items in settings. Are there any interesting changes from what we're used to as far as options or the locations of things?
There aren't many changes, but TalkBack settings. I think they used to be in speech. TTS is still where it was in language, and accessibility has your usual settings. But TalkBack now has a settings button, and you can change things in there, like the rate and so on. You can also change things like whether it reads caller ID or not, whether it's silent when the screen is locked, and various things like that. But there is a bug in TalkBack whereby even if you turn off caller ID speaking, it still speaks it anyway. So it doesn't have any effect at the moment. And also there's a bug that appears to crash TalkBack, well, not quite crash it, but when the phone rings, TalkBack starts talking, TalkBack finishes talking, and then the ringer volume goes down to about 40%.
Oh, wow.
You have to bring the ringer volume back up using the volume control once you've, you know, it's stopped talking. But it's sort of live with the ball. But every time it happens, the reason I said it crashes is in the notifications bar, I always get Talk's crash data and I always send it to Google. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So what is your thoughts? Is Google doing a better job now? You've reported several bugs for Ice Cream Sandwich. Do you think they're being a little more responsive, or do you expect to wait 6 months for anything to be fixed?
I think they fixed quite a few of the bugs, certainly, that I've reported. And we've had about two or three system updates since Ice Cream Sandwich came up. I think I'm on 4.04 now.
Oh, wow.
And so this is really good. And we've also had some updates to TalkBack. Or we've had one update to TalkBack. And we've had several updates to Ice Free Keyboard because it was unusable in Ice Cream Sandwich until recently. Because it just crashed as soon as you typed a character and it took whatever app was with it. You know, say if you're in the market and you do a market search, you just type in and it would crash market and crash Ice Free Keyboard.
How is that working now? The Ice Free Keyboard or the keyboard that came with the phone, how is that working? I know you were having problems with it in the beginning.
Yeah, the keyboard that comes with the phone, I still have problems occasionally. You lift your finger because it's like the iPhone's touch and type mode, whereby when you're on the keyboard, you don't tap a key, you just lift and it enters the key that
right.
you want. A bit like the Ice Free Keyboard. Although, having said that, if you go on the number pad when you're dialing a phone number, that isn't lift and just lift, it's tap, which is strange.
Right.
So it's a bit inconsistent there. But if you're on a QWERTY keyboard, it's just lift. Now, what I find is sometimes, just occasionally, if you lift on the main Android keyboard, a letter won't get entered. It will just click, but it won't get entered. So you have to be a little bit careful. And of course, you haven't got the left and right gestures to edit, you know, to find out what you're editing and so on, unless you've got the Ice Free keyboard and can use the virtual D-pad. So the Ice Free keyboard now is the one that I use primarily because it now works and because it gives me everything, including the D-pad, which is useful when we come to talk about the web browser as well.
Now, speaking of editing, before we move on to the next question, when I was at the store using the phone, I dialed a number and I could touch the top of the screen and read the number back.
Yeah.
So when you're typing something, say an email message or a note to yourself, can you use Explore by Touch to read the message back?
You can, and it says current text is and reads it. However, it doesn't read it letter by letter or anything like that. So you can only hear it as a chunk, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, right.
Sure, if you have a long email.
You can't, break it down. You can only hear it as a whole chunk.
Got it. Okay.
So speaking of email, the Gmail app was actually made recently accessible in 2.3 and some of the older versions, but is it improved even further? And now Gmail versus the actual email program, which is two separate things, which I know confuses people. Is it still like that in Ice Cream? And how is that for you?
The Gmail app is about the same as it was in Gingerbread, except that you've got Touch Explore by Touch. So that improves it just by the fact that it's there. Because you can now move your finger down a list of email and just click on it to open it and so on. You don't have to rely. This is the thing I really love about Ice Cream Sandwich now. You really don't need a D-pad very much unless you want to scroll. And this is good because in the Ice Free keyboard, the virtual D-pad still doesn't work in menus. So what you can do now is click the menu key and just run your finger down the menu, if you see what I mean. So you don't need that D-pad to work in the menus. But getting back to email, the Gmail app is quite accessible, but the email app is not that good. I still haven't got the hang of the email app. I can't even read an entire message. I can read the first few lines of the message, and it won't even put it into web view. Now, if I load K9 into it, this is really nice because when you open an email, it goes into web view and it brings up the web browser. So now you can read down it like you would read down a website.
Oh, wow. So there's no need to go into review mode?
Not at all, no. It'll say web view when it opens it, and then you'll hear all the links as you move down, and you can move by object, by group, by sentence, character, and so on. So you've got all the web element granularity that you would normally have, except for headings. You can move around.
And you can press enter on a link?
Yes, you can.
Why don't we flip around the question here? We're going to ask this in a minute, but since you're talking about it, the web browser, so that's actually one of the huge improvements, is the access to the web views, which brings over a lot of applications that we did not have access to before. So what's your experience been? How's it working? Do you have any need now for the ideal Vox browser, which has been recently improved, or are you just using the internal?
The advantage with the ideal Vox browser is that it can move by heading levels. You can move by headings 1 to 6 by pressing numbers and so on. What I don't like about the Vox browser is that you have to go out of reading mode to go into forms mode, and we're back to the old sort of screen reader days type of thing. With the built-in browser, you can just go down to a text box and start typing, which is really nice. So I don't know why they needed to do that in the ideal browser, probably because it's pre-ice cream sandwich it's got to work on as well. But you really don't need that with the native browser. And so I find, for the most part, I wish there was a continuous read option in the native browser. There isn't, or there doesn't appear to be, that I know about. But other than that, yeah, the browser's pretty accessible. And we can also stream, and we can also download files from websites and install them and various things like that, which obviously, you know, sighted people have taken for granted for a long time and we haven't easily been able to do. So I'm really quite pleased with the web. There could be more granularity, like heading levels and things like that. But overall, I think it's pretty good.
All right. And I'm going to go back to something really basic. I know when I first got an Android phone, the actual phone was hard to use for lots of different reasons. Is the phone easy to use? I mean, can you use like the add call feature, and can you use the screen to end calls, or do you still use the power button? How is that?
Most partly, I use the power button because I can. But
yeah, right.
You can easily use end call. You can find end and just touch it, and it will end the call. You can put more people on hold. You can mute the call. You can add a call, as you say. When you dial a number, you get onto a call. If you want to enter numbers while you're on the call, you have to tick the dial pad button. So the dial pad, it says dial pad unticked, and you just tick it, and then the dial pad comes up, and then you can move around the dial pad and then lift and tap when you want to add numbers.
So oh, good.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the big issues before with the phone. It still remains for your ice cream sandwich, for sure.
I'll be honest with you, JJ. My wife and I were talking about this, and she's still got the HTC Desire. And she said, God, I can't wait for ice cream sandwich. She said, it makes my phone look so old hat. Because it's on gingerbread, you know.
Sure. Well,
yeah.
Let's talk about some of the not-so-old hats. The Facebook and Twitter apps have been two that have posed lots of problems before, and we've always been searching for alternatives and done okay with Twitter and maybe not so much with Facebook. What about the stock apps now? Are you finding improvements? And if not, what is keeping them from working?
Not at all. For some reason, the Twitter app, I haven't tried the stock Twitter app for a couple of weeks, but when I first got the phone, I tried it. And I simply couldn't read the text on it. It wouldn't read with touch and explore by touch. And it wouldn't, you know, the timeline wouldn't read. It simply wouldn't read. So I really don't know what's going on with the Twitter app. But I use Seismic for Twitter. And the reason I don't use Tweetcaster anymore, I used to with Gingerbread, is that it's pretty unstable, or it was with Ice Cream Sandwich. It kept crashing all over the place. And also Seismic now, because of explore by touch, you can go to the top of the screen and you can read replies, timelines, and so on. And you can just touch the bit that you want to go to. So whereas before, you may remember with Seismic, you had to try and get to the top or come back out of it, go in and go down to timeline and then go right to reply or whatever. But now you can just go to the top of the touch screen and just touch replies, touch directs or messages, as it calls them, touch timelines. So Seismic is really, really good. It's really quite accessible. And you can open links from Seismic and everything else. So I now recommend Seismic if you've got Ice Cream Sandwich. I haven't tried anything recently on Facebook at all. I used to have Friendcaster on Gingerbread, but I haven't tried it yet on Ice Cream Sandwich because my Tweetcaster experience put me off a little bit.
Now, the phone that you have is a touchscreen only phone. There's no hardware keyboard. And I think you've mentioned on list that sometimes you use a Bluetooth keyboard. Is there any significant difference? Is it easier to use with or without the Bluetooth keyboard? Are certain tasks harder or easier?
Well, to be honest, Anna, I'm inherently lazy, right? So so what I do is I lie in bed on a Saturday morning and I turn on my Bluetooth keyboard, put the phone on my bedside cabinet and just read tweets, you know, by scrolling down. I don't have to worry about sliding down halfway down the screen and things like that. So I use it for things like scrolling, and I use it for typing text because I'm still faster with a physical keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Retech keyboard, and you know it, don't you, JJ? It's a nice little keyboard, and it goes everywhere with me. And it's tiny as well, so it's very, very small. And it works very well with the Galaxy Nexus. And I've never really had a problem with it. So, you know, you could use it without the keyboard. There's not a problem with using it without the keyboard. But I tend to use the keyboard for really efficiency.
Right, right.
And I would with any phone now. It's not because it's Android. I would with an iPhone as well.
Right, absolutely. You know. Yes. Summarize for us some of the main improvements that you've noticed in Ice Cream Sandwich. It's probably been long enough that you've forgotten the transition, but overall, what would you say some of the improvements are?
Well, the biggest improvement, without a doubt, is Explore by Touch, because it makes a whole load of programs accessible that previously weren't. I have a program called UK Trains Journey Planner, and this is where you can type in where you want to go and where you want to come from, and it will work out all the trains for you and tell you all the platforms. If I told you to install that in Gingerbread, it's pretty much inaccessible in that the D-pad does nothing. If you move around with the D-pad, it does absolutely nothing. But because of Explore by Touch, it's completely accessible. I can walk around the departures, the arrivals. I can find out what platforms the trains are on just by running my finger down the relevant column, if you see what I mean. So I'm looking at it rather like a sighted person almost. We can actually feel the layout of apps now, which is nice. And so Explore by Touch has got to be the one single big improvement, I would say, over anything else that's really made this phone usable. I made a bold claim to JJ, and I said that I reckon that the bugs aside and things like that, I think that Android is pretty much almost as accessible as the iPhone now. I would challenge anyone to say it isn't. And I've replaced all my, because I have an iPhone. I have an iPhone 3GS, and I've replaced all my accessible iPhone apps except for games with accessible Android equivalents. All my productivity apps. And they're just as productive on Android, but they probably wouldn't be if I was still on Gingerbread. So,
right.
So I have a lovely wife who bought me this phone for Christmas, and it's probably the best present she's ever bought me, you know. but I've had it since November. I actually had it almost the day after it came out, I think. And I've never looked back. I had a few frustrations with it when I first started, and mainly it was because I didn't know the layouts of a lot of screens, because we relied on the D-pad, didn't we, to get us and then hit enter, you know, everywhere, you know. You know, I can just put my hand somewhere usually and touch it within fair degree of accuracy.
And do you notice patterns, for example, do buttons tend to be near the edges of the screen? Do you notice any sort of predictable pattern?
Fairly, yeah. Usually you find OK is to the left and cancel is towards the right, and not always at the top or the bottom. Sometimes they're sort of in the middle of the screen and things like that. But you can often find OK towards the left-hand side and cancel towards the right. The install button in the marketplace threw me a little bit, because when you open an app, for example, you get your email address. It says my email address. And then just below that, you could arrow down with your keyboard and you could just hit the install button. Now you've got to be fairly accurate and go down slightly in the middle of the screen. If you move over to the right a bit, you'll miss it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, now we asked some of our listeners to tweet questions, and one of the questions that we received was about multiple languages. Is there support for multiple languages, or is it easy to switch from one language to another? Have you had any experience with that?
Yeah, I have, actually, because only with English, but when I got my Nexus, it was in US language. So apart from the US voice, which I wasn't so keen on. I also didn't like it talking dates upside down to me, you know, because you people over there get the date the wrong way around, you know. But there you go. You know, we have our problems. And so I went into language and input, and I went to default language and just switched it to UK. And all of a sudden I got this lovely sort of clear, posh, male UK voice. It was fine. So, yes, there are many, many languages. I mean, there's a whole list of languages, and I actually did it with the keyboard because I didn't want to touch the wrong language and then didn't know what the heck it was saying. You
know? Yes.
Because that could be a problem, because the language of the speech changes with your language. So as soon as I selected UK language, it selected the UK voice.
Oh, that's nice. So it's in the older phones, it there were two separate settings. So the voice, oh, that's excellent.
But you can go into TalkBack settings and change the language independently. So you could have the US voice and the UK language, but when you change the language, the phone language, it'll change the voice language. I like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And the last question is, what improvements would you still like to find? Are there things that you're hoping will change with another upgrade or two?
Well, I don't know about improvements. I'd like to see some more of the bugs fixed. I've reported quite a few, and I've reported them to the bug tracker, and I'm really hoping that they get fixed. And that includes the TalkBack sort of crash when the phone rings. But as for improvements, the thing I really can't wait for is Braille. I'm sure it's going to happen. And whether it happens through mobile accessibility or Google, it's going to happen. I think we're going to have access to Braille devices, because now we've got HID Bluetooth protocol where, you know, these Bluetooth keyboards now work. That means that Braille input devices can also type into them as well.
Right. Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of us are hoping for. Now, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about the ice cream sandwich experience before we close?
Yes, I'd like to say be patient. There's a lot of worry and concern about how accessible it's going to be. Excuse me.
That's perfect.
There's a lot of fear about it because, you know, it hasn't been accessible for a long time like the iPhone. But we have to remember that the iPhone's had 3 or 5 years to become accessible. And really, Google have only had about a year or so in terms of, you know, we haven't really had accessibility until Gingerbread or 2.2, at least, really, not real good accessibility. And so I really think that the way Google are going at the moment, if they fix bugs at the rate that they have been at the moment, I think it really is going to be something else in 6 months to a year's time. And I'm in a good place about it. I'm really enjoying the experience.
Great. I'm really excited about it. When I went into the store, the first 5 minutes were a lot of fumbling around. And after that, things just sort of fell into place for me. So I really can't wait to get an ice cream sandwich phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely great. And there's more phones coming out. There's a couple more phones in the UK coming out since the CES show as well that have ice cream sandwich on as well. So it won't only be the Galaxy Next.
Yeah, same here.
And we should get ice cream sandwich on older phones as well within February, March time, I think. The Sony Xperia certainly are getting upgraded soon. And even the Mini Pro, which amazed me. I would have thought that wouldn't have the guts for ice cream sandwich, but there you go. But that's being upgraded, and I'm really pleased. You know, I can't wait for everyone to have it. I feel like I'm on a bit of a lonely planet. You know, I've been a listener to that Android show, and this is why I challenged JJ. I said, we're not talking about ice cream sandwich. We're just giving news on ice cream sandwich. So really, thanks for having me on. I think people should know about it and how exciting it is.
Well, thanks for giving us a very hands-on sense of it. I think we're all eager to get our hands on them. So it's nice to talk to someone who's had a few months to get used to it and who can tell us about it in a very realistic, practical way.
Well, I've tried to. I don't want to overdo people's expectations, but I can, as I said, I can do everything now that I couldn't do before with Gingerbread, and I could do everything now that I can do on my iPhone, and I can even play Stem Stumper on it. So we're really good, you know.
Well, there you go.
We can do that. So that's really quite good. I wish we could get games like Papa Sangre on there and things like that, but it'll come, no doubt, one day.
Well, be ready, Steve. We're going to have lots of user questions, I'm sure. So stand by. We might have to bring you back for a follow-up. We'll see. But thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I hope it's been useful. As I say, the phone is damn good. I mean, the Nexus is so fast as well because it's dual core that, you know, when you download something from the market, if you've got a good Wi-Fi second, you know, it sort of goes downloading, updating, successful, that sort of thing, you know. And it supports, it's, you know, it's really cool. I'm loving it.
Steve, why don't you go ahead and let us know how people can get in contact with your company if they want to get more information. You also sell mobile accessibility as well.
Yeah, we're a reseller of mobile accessibility, but I have to say, and I will say quite publicly, that I haven't used it deliberately because I wanted the Google experience on my phone, and it's been really positive. So everything I've talked about today, I've just done with TalkBack. I've had no additional apps to help me except for the eyes-free keyboard. But me, yeah, if you want to contact me, please feel free to do so. Steve, STEVE, at comproom.co.uk. And the website is www.comproom.co.uk. And I've been a bit of a phone geek for years and years. I started selling Talks in 2002, which gives you an idea. So I've been a long time Symbian fan. And now Android's come along and it's a bit more like Symbian than the iPhone is, in that it's more open. And you can do nice things like send songs via Bluetooth and swap ringtones and all kinds of good stuff. So, you know, that's me, really. Early adopter, like you said at the beginning, and a happy one, too.
Well, thanks again.
Pleasure.
Ideal Web Reader is the free, accessible browser for blind and visually impaired Android users. It's been usable but generally buggy, and it hasn't been the most convenient way to browse the web. Recently, however, it's undergone a significant update. It's now generally more stable, and it's got more of the features we're used to. It also allows users to decide whether they want to use their touchscreen or their keyboard. Let's check it out. Because there are many new features, there are also many new commands. So when you launch Android Vox, you also launch a tutorial, which you can read. First, we're going to read it using the touchscreen. It helps if you think of a telephone keypad. Wherever you touch the screen is the 5 key. From there, you're going to slide your finger to other keys. For example, you might slide it up and to the left to where the 1 key is, or you might slide it horizontally to where the 6 is.
Ideal Android Vox Browser V2.0. Loading. Ideal Android Vox Browser 3.
To start reading the tutorial, I'm going to slide my finger horizontally to the right, from the 5 key to the 6 key.
Ideal Android Vox Browser Jet, Steer and Keyboard Navigation Commands. Updated on January 17, 2012. Credits. Thanks and kudos to Reinhard Kruger for his ongoing support and dedication to making Android Vox what it is today.
If I want to go backward, I can slide my finger to the left, from the 5 to the 4 key.
Credits. Updated on January 17, 2012.
Every time I slide my finger, I hear a new sentence. If I want to read by words, I can slide my finger vertically, from the 5 to the 8.
Object updated on January 17, 2012. Sentence updated on January 17, 2012. Word updated. Character U.
Since I want to go by words, I'm going to slide my finger vertically up from the 5 to the 2 position until I get to Word.
Word updated.
Excellent. Now I'm going to move forward by sliding my finger to the right from 5 to 6.
On January 17, 2012.
Okay, I want to read by sentence again, so I'm sliding my finger vertically up from 5 to 2.
Sentence 2012.
Okay, now I'm going to move forward by sliding my finger to the right.
Credits. Thanks and kudos to Reinhard Kruger for his ongoing support and dedication to making Android Vox what it is today.
Now, if I want to read the entire screen, I can slide my finger down and to the left from the 5 to the 7 key.
Important notes. List with 3 items. We highly recommend printing out the following instructions as a reference guide before trying to use Android Vox. List item. Holding down the shift key while pressing any of the following navigation keys moves you backwards.
Now I just tapped on the screen to interrupt speech. If there were any links on this page, I could activate them by sliding my finger down and to the right from the 5 to the 9 position. If I wanted to come back to this page, I could set a bookmark by sliding my finger up and to the left from the 5 to the 1 position. And if I wanted to type text in an edit field, I would slide my finger up and to the right from the 5 to the 3 position to go into Forms mode. Right now I'm in reading mode, so I can use the keyboard for things other than typing. Instead of sliding my finger from left to right to go forward or right to left to go backward, I can go forward by pressing the down arrow.
Reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom left to top right gesture must be disabled when entering text in edit fields. List item. Keyboard navigation keys 1 equals next level 1 heading.
Or I can go backward by pressing the up arrow.
Keyboard navigation keys list with 3 items reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom left to top right gesture.
If I want to change granularity, I press the left and right arrows.
Object list with 3 items reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom left to top right gesture. Group reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom left to top right gesture.
I'm pressing the left arrow to increase granularity. Now I'm pressing the right arrow to decrease granularity.
Object reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom. Sentence list with 3 items reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom. Word list with 3 items reading list item. Character list with 3 items are list item.
Let's go back to sentence mode.
Sentence list with 3 items reading mode, which is toggled by a bottom left to top right gesture.
Now I can also move forward through the text by typing the letter J.
Keyboard navigation keys. 1 equals next level 1 heading. 2 equals next level 2 heading. 3 equals next level 3 heading.
If there's a blank line, you might have to press the J twice, or the down arrow twice, or slide your finger right twice. I can move backward by typing the letter K.
2 equals next level 2 heading.
Or I could read continuously by typing the letter M, as in Mary.
3 equals next level 3 heading. 4 equals next level 4 heading. 5 equals next level 5 heading.
Again, I tap the screen to silence speech. As you heard, you can type the numbers 1 through 5 to reach headings at levels 1 through 5. You can change granularity by typing the numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9. Now you can type other letters that you're familiar with to jump to other parts of the screen. For example, B for button.
No next button.
C for combo box.
No next combo box.
E for editable text.
No next editable text field.
F for form field.
No next form field.
G for graphic.
No next graphic.
H for heading.
No next heading.
I for item in a list, and we actually have one on this page.
List with 3 items. We highly recommend printing out the following instructions as a reference guide before trying to use Android Vox. List item.
Good. L for link.
No next link.
Q for block quote.
No next block quote.
R for radio button.
No next radio button.
S for slider.
No next slider.
T for table.
No next table.
X for checkbox.
No next checkbox.
And as you heard earlier, if you press shift with any of these letters, you'll move to the previous one. By the way, these commands work even if you're using the on-screen TalkBack keyboard.
Typing. H. No next heading. Hidden.
Now, as the tutorial pointed out, I'm in reading mode. That means I can use the keyboard to navigate. When I actually want to type, I want to disable reading mode. So I'm going to slide my finger up and to the right from the 5 to the 3 position.
Reading mode disabled.
Now I can type in an edit field. Up, down, left, or right arrow moves me to the next object. For example, to a link or a button. It no longer moves me to a block of text. When I'm done entering text, I can again slide my finger from the 5 to the 3 key to enable reading mode again.
Reading mode on.
Now you're probably wondering how to get out of this tutorial and start browsing. Simple. Just press the menu button.
Options. View bookmarks.
Your options are view bookmarks.
Go to URL.
Go to URL.
Search.
Search.
Settings.
Settings.
More apps.
If I press the selector on
view bookmarks,
I can go through a list of pages that I've bookmarked. The app has already saved a few for you, like Google and Wikipedia. The ones you save get added to the bottom of the list. To visit a specific web page, press the selector on Go to URL.
Go to URL. Alert, enter URL here. Edit box.
And then just type your URL. I'm going to visit blindbargains.com.
www.blindbargains.com.
Press enter.
Loading Blind Bargains Mobile. Deals and news for the blind and visually impaired.
All right, so I want to know if there are any headings on this page, so I'm going to type the letter H.
Menu heading 2.
Type it again.
Latest bargains heading 2.
Type it again.
No next heading.
I'm sure there are links here, so I'm going to type the letter L.
Blind Bargains Mobile link. Browse link. Search link.
I wonder if there are any buttons. I'm going to type the letter B.
No next button.
Excellent. I just want to read the page now, so I'm going to type the letter M, or I can slide down and to the left from the 5 to the 7 key.
Audio link. Classic site link. Login link. Latest bargains heading 2. #Asha 2012. Humanware expanding brilliant line with new ADSL model link.
And I tap the screen to silence speech. I can press back to exit this page.
Loading ideal Android Fox browser 3.
I can press the selector on search if I want to Google something.
Search. Alert, enter search term here. Edit box.
I'm an avid knitter and I'm learning a new way of making sock heels. It's called the sweet tomato heel, so I'm going to Google that.
W-E-E-T space T-O-M-A-T-O space H-E-E-L.
Press enter.
Loading. Ideal Android Fox browser V2.0. Web view.
And I can
sweet tomato heel. Google search.
I'm going to use the letter H to jump to the next heading.
Main search results heading 2.
This is my main search result. Since I know that the results will be presented as a list, I'm just going to use the letter I to jump to each item in that list.
List item heading 3 sweet tomato heel link. List item heading 3 cat board heel link. List item heading 3 Ravelry cats link.
And so on. I'm going to press back to exit here.
Loading ideal Android Fox browser 3. Settings.
If I press the selector on settings, I can change the visual presentation of the website.
More apps.
And more apps simply lists more apps by the ideal group. That's a quick tour of Android Fox. It's significantly improved, so if you haven't tried the ideal web reader in a while, you might want to check this out. The app is faster than it used to be. It's more responsive, and there are many more shortcuts that can make browsing quick and efficient.
Welcome back to That Android Show, Episode 5. You can reach us online at thatandroidshow.com. Also, That Android Show on Twitter, or leave us an iReport through iBlink Radio. And we have some of those again on our mailbag. Starting off with a message from James, who wanted to know a little bit about an AT&T phone, considering maybe getting the iPhone 4S, and also looking, though, at a Sony phone, the Xperia Play from AT&T. We covered this a little bit, didn't we, Joe, back in the first episode?
In our first episode, I had an opportunity to play with that. That's primarily a PlayStation video game type
play
phone.
With the Play.
You can play with the Play, but it's not like the new PlayStation Vita, which comes out next month, being February. And that, too, runs Android, but that doesn't have access to the market apps. It's just the basic OS that's lying under it, as far as I can tell so far. The benefit to having the Play, the Xperia one, just to kind of paraphrase what we talked about a couple of months back, is that you have, kind of thumbstick controls and buttons. It isn't a hardware keyboard, and it isn't anything that you would know of for typing. But you do have a D-pad, and those are harder and harder to find on phones, so that's an advantage. The screen is pretty large and pretty responsive, but again, it's not a phone that's directly an Android phone. It happens to be a phone that is also a video game controller. So if you are low vision and you're looking for some games to play along with talking on the phone, then this might be an option for you. It is very, very cheap. I've seen it fall down a lot in cost on AT&T's contract. And it is an LTE, so you're choosing, again, a 3G phone that you're going to be on for a while. And that's the bigger part of this is, as cool as some of those phones are, you're going to be looking at it for a really long time. So you have to make a decision on those feature phones.
Well, to reiterate something we've said on this show during other episodes, if you're thinking Android and there is no rush, you may as well wait for an ice cream sandwich phone, because it sounds like the improvements Absolutely. Are worth the Yep. wait. And you're going to be stuck with this phone for 2 years, so why not buy the Jaguar rather than the dumpy little truck, you know?
That's yeah. actually what everybody on this podcast is doing. Is
just That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Now, you, one of the braver ones, Mike Arrigo, who is a regular contributor to our show, thank you so much for that. He tried an unlocked phone, the Motorola Pro, and assumed because it had a keyboard that it would also have arrow keys or some sort of navigation, D-pad navigation, and it didn't. So he kind of gives us the word of the wise. Yeah, definitely read your specs before you purchase a phone. If you're going to, don't just assume that because it has a keyboard, you also definitely need some sort of arrow key navigation pre-ice cream sandwich, for sure.
And we've had this problem on the ice-free list before, where people buy a phone mm-hmm. with a hardware keyboard thinking they're set, but there is no navigational controller, or there are only two arrow keys. So you really want to, if you can, put your hands on the phone or talk to somebody who has handled it.
Or read the CNET reviews, take the phone mm-hmm. and the model number, right. go to Google, type it in with CNET review next to it. They'll actually do a very good job at non-visually describing the phone, and their reviews usually say whether it has a D-pad or not.
Most of the time they and do, that's
that
true.
I've yeah. found very helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
The one that I look for the most is if it has a true four keys, or is it the upside down T? Like with the Epics and things mm-hmm. like that, because I've grown very, very, very spoiled with my D-pad on the Ally.
Yes.
And when I've used other phones, I've just never been a big fan of the upside-down T. It's something I can get used to, but on a phone, I don't know why. It's something that just, I don't know, throws right. me.
Do let us know which phones you guys are using, AT&T especially. That's kind of one we don't hear as much about. They don't have as many Android options, and we don't hear a lot from users, too. We've asked for this before, I believe, and AT&T phones, few and far between at this point. Of course, ice cream sandwich, as we say many, many times, with not needing a keyboard on the phone, will give us a lot more options. There is the option of unlocked phones, the Xperia Pro and the Mini Pro, both from Sony. Actually, back to Mike, because a couple of phones that he picked up, and those are unlocked GSM phones. So there's some options there. So
and if you get one of those doorstops known as a cheap tablet, as we were talking about at the top of the show, let us know about your experience with that too, because there are some decent tablets out there. But we want to hear what you have to say about those that you might have picked up that may have been, a cute little gift stocking stuffer from Santa, but now, you know, holds down your, you know, paperback collection or something to that effect.
Coming up next month, we're going to have a really exciting interview. Can't wait to do this one with Nolan Derelict, the author of Spiel.
It's German, yes.
Spiel, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been about a year since we've all spoken to him, too, since...
Yeah, that's right. Back on the free Android, we used to do the those little Android roundtables on yeah. Tech Chat. Before this show even, you know, it's when they come out doing later the pilot episodes of this, we're that kind of. So,
we were also much younger back then.
Speak yes, for yourselves. Much younger.
a little bit wiser now, maybe. But Nolan has also picked up the production of Spiel because of the Braille Wizard. Yes the other Android note taker, and it's not dead. We're going to hear all about what's going on with that. I'm quite interested to hear where is this thing exactly, and can we expect to see it released anytime soon? So if you have any questions for Nolan, be sure to tweet us or email us or call us, and we'll see what we can do.
So if you need to reach us, remember you can contact us at resources@serotalk.com or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thatandroidshow. If you're looking for news between our latest episode and the last episode, that's a great place to be able to catch up on some of the things that are going on in the world of Android. You can also find all sorts of app reviews, maybe from a certain site that JJ is going to tell you about, or Anna's site. She has a tendency to post up there too, and that gets up there on the blog. And of course, my tweet feed has a lot of Android news that's coming along as well. And of course, stay on Serotalk Podcast Network for ATIA coverage. I'm sure we'll have one or two Android bits of news there as well. So definitely keep it right there on iBlink Radio and SPN Radio, right there on your Android device, in fact.
Hey, Joe, your Motorola Droid 4 was announced. So,
really?
Don't know if that's going to be out by next month, but it should be headed to Verizon in the next couple of weeks.
Stars in my eyes. I must. I'm getting by with this Ally, but I really am ready for the next one. And gee whiz, I've got the countdown clock on me too. April's my month. So
there you go.
Heck or high water, man. That phone's got to be replaced. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about in the next couple of months, guys.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be fun times. AndroidAccess.net for all of your Android app reviews. And
AccessibleAndroid.blogspot.com for articles and tutorials.
For Joe and Anna, I'm JJ Metal. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Drawing.